Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 142nd edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During the show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Tarlan Amadov. He was originally from Azerbaijan, a former Soviet state in the South Caucasus region, celebrating its 99th anniversary this year. It is bound by the Caspian Sea, Russia, Georgia, Armenia, Iran, and even a little stretch of Turkey. Tarlan was on this show in September of 2016 when he was the director of Refugee Immigrant Services at Catholic Charities. Recently, the refugee services, the way they're delivered has changed, and as the new state refugee coordinator, he is here to tell us about what kinds of services are still available in Maine and how to access them. Welcome back to New Mainers Speak, Tarlan.
Hello. I'm so happy to be here today with this beautiful day outside, and I'm honored to be here today in this important day of my country.
Yes, this day especially, right?
Yes.
May 28th.
Yes, it is. And on behalf of our main diaspora of Azerbaijani people, I want to extend these congratulations to members of Azerbaijani community in the U.S. and abroad. And this is occasion of 99th anniversary of the Azerbaijan Democratic Republic. Today is the 28th of May, is a Republic of Day, and which is the most important date in our entire history. The date Azerbaijani people across the world, including those in the U.S., hold so dear to their hearts. It is the date when the first republic in our history was born. The importance of this establishment of the Azerbaijan Democratic Republic as a historical precedence goes well beyond Azerbaijan itself. This was the first secular parliamentary democracy in the Muslim world. Not only a true multi-party republican form of government was created, but it's also extended the suffrage of the all persons, irrespective of ethnicity, religion, or gender, becoming the first country in the Muslim world to give voting rights to women. By establishing democratic institutions and state symbols, the First Republic restored Azerbaijan's statehood traditions and set the stage for the development of today's modern independent Azerbaijan. Our nation remembers and will always remember the founding fathers as Mehmet Amin Rasulzadeh, Fateli Khan Khoisky, Alimardan Bey Topchubashev, Nasib Bey Yusuf Beyli, Hasan Bey Agayev, as well as other members of National Council with tremendous gratitude. The country was incorporated into the Soviet Union in 1920, unfortunately, and became as Azerbaijan Soviet Republic. The modern Republic of Azerbaijan proclaimed its independence back on 30th of August 1991. Prior to the official dissolution of the USSR in December 1991. So today is really important for us. We are celebrating in the whole world this important, historical fact that we become, the first country in the Muslim world as a democratic country.
I can see why you would be proud of that. And, I'm afraid I'm not alone. I didn't learn one thing about Azerbaijan when I was a kid in school. So if you missed it, you can just catch it on New Mainers Speak. Happy 99th anniversary.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I'm proud to be here today.
Yes.
With you.
It's so auspicious.
Yes.
So since November 4th, there's been a reorganization of refugee services in Maine. And I wonder what the primary function of the newly reorganized, established Office of Maine Refugee Services looks like now, Tarlan.
As our prior talk back in 2016, I was explaining the role of Catholic Charities as the refugee resettlement site in the state of Maine. As you know, we established these services in 1975, so over 42 years ago, the establishment of this office has been helping the refugees resettled here, and our office were providing all the services for resettlement. And still, we are providing the same services. The services never been stopped or We have continuation of the services.
Yet the people keep changing.
Yes, but yes, you're right. But as in 1975, as you explained in before, and actually I will also will explain to you right now, we have been holding the contract with the two important refugee stand players. One is the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. That is actually is gatekeeper through the State Departments for the refugees who come to Maine. And the second contracts we had also with the state of Maine as a government that helping us to continuation of the services through the different grants. But back in November 2016, the following withdrawal of the state from the federal refugee services, the Office of Refugee Settlement of DHHS as federal government approved the Catholic Charities as become a new replacement designee state of Maine. So we established a new office of the Maine Refugee Services, and we are holding our contract now with the federal government, with the Federal Refugee Settlement Office at DHHS. So we have now dual kind of roles in Maine.
Yes. Yeah, so instead of the money coming from the feds to the state of Maine and then to the organization that delivers the services, the state's been cut out of the loop, and it goes straight from the federal dollars right into CC Maine.
Yes, it goes to my office. So we have delineation between two offices. As I said, we have Refugee and Immigration Services, which is directly providing the service for the to the refugees as a providers. Mm-hmm. And then my office, which I work now, it's the Office of Maine Refugee Services, is administering actually the whole entire the refugees kind of package in terms of the money, you know, administering the infrastructure, making sure that refugees are able to access the, all the services in Maine,
yes,
regardless
the,
where they
through
go.
Through the whole state.
Through the whole state. And that's why we established within the office several positions. So my new positions, my new title is State Refugee Coordinator. We have a State Refugee Health Coordinator, and we have two other positions that helping us to provide this all administration. It's a contract analyst and also the person who is in data, so collecting data and so on. So right now, my office actually overseeing the refugee cash and medical assistance in state of Maine. We are also providing the grant management from the all the grants which come from the Office of Refugee Settlement, such as school, refugee school impact, or we have the service for the refugees, who is all the refugees. So the social services grant that also meant to support employment services to the refugees who comes to Maine. So we also overseeing the refugee medical assistance. It's a all the refugees, when they come, with the first 90 days, they have to go through domestic medical screening. So our office overseeing this. And at the same time, we also working with all other agencies that providing the services. We have the Refugee State Advisory Council, which is required us to do, I mean, to have it. And we are kind of meeting every once in every 3 months in a quarterly meeting that we involve and enroll all the providers, inviting them to the table. And this is really a great work of all the people of Maine.
Huge collaboration.
Yes, it
and
is.
You're driving a team of 16 horses, you know. You're not just riding a horse out there.
I mean, it is collaboration. I mean, we cannot do as one entity to do this job, as you know. It is we start basic provision of the services to the refugees, but integration, it is the process. It takes a lot of efforts to integrate it into any society you go.
If only we could package it in a box and deliver it to people upon arrival. No, it takes years and years.
Yeah, it takes years. But I think the success of the program, it is really related to the collaboration. It's related to the goodwill of the people of Maine, and which we are really, really so happy and so much honored to be here myself as immigrant. And, you know, this is just really a great place that people are caring. They're supporting financially, morally, you know. They're just calling and saying, thank you so much for bringing the new neighbor to my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just empowering your work and whatever you do. It's meaning a big, meaningful work you do for people of Maine.
Yes, it is very meaningful when people are at their very most vulnerable places in their lives.
Yes.
You're there. to help them get started.
Yes, we're there.
That's something to be proud of.
Yes.
I bet your mom's proud of you.
Oh, she is. She just all the time tell me that she wouldn't think anything better than what I do now.
Isn't that beautiful? And yes. You can do it in 7 languages.
Yeah, I do.
I told you the other day, I think you're my award winner for having the most languages.
No, we have many colleagues that in my office that they speak all the same, I mean, same time, several languages. You know, and I'm so proud to work with these people. You know, they are so resourceful. And I just feel so much empowered by working with so many people from different culture, religion, you know, backgrounds, and people who has a really good heart and dedicate themselves to provide this the good work for people who comes here.
I think the diversity is really exciting.
Yes.
And then what else is exciting is the paradoxical sameness. You know, we're so different, and that's cool, and we're so much the same, and that's cool, too.
Yes, yes. It's like, you know, it's a garden, which is a very different color of the, you know, the beautiful flowers, and it just makes you so happy when you see different colors and different scents that comes from these flowers. If you just imagine for yourself for a second, you go to the garden with only yellow or only, you know, the one color flowers, it's not going to make you so much attracted. It's always something diversity that makes us really powerful.
I think about this when I water my houseplants. They're all so different, and yet I give them the same thing, dirt, yeah. Sun, and
yeah.
Water.
Yeah.
And yet they come out so different.
Yeah.
That's great. So can you help define who exactly is eligible for services through your office these days?
So, you know, my office is operate under the Code of Federal Regulations 45 and paragraph 400 that exactly in accordance with the Refugee Act of 1980. And this is also defined by the Immigration Nationality Act of 1980, just explaining who are refugees. So we are providing the refugee, service for the refugees. And if you know, the refugees are the people who have been persecuted or they have a fear of persecution in the country of their origin. And it's based on their race, nationality, religion, or membership of any particular social group or political opinion, and also based on their race too. So it's a very important categories that determining refugees to come to U.S. So it's all determined before by United Nations, before the refugees come here, and then U.S. Government determining further on. And then that's how the refugees are arriving here with these, you know, the definitions. Same things is for asylees. So we provide the service for refugees, asylees. For the secondary migrants, you may heard about secondary migration.
Secondary migration is a thing.
Yeah, this is actually the population that also resettle as a primary refugees. As you know, the whole United States providing the refugee service in the states, and people comes the first from the from other places from overseas. They become a primarily refugees for that state, and then people are free to move in America, and they decide where they wanted to move. If they decided to move from, for example, from Minnesota to Maine, so they become secondary migrants here. Their immigration status not changing at all. So they are refugees there, refugees for 5 years from the time of arrivals. But the issues will be only how much will be support from the administration of this refugee services per site.
Yes, moving once you've arrived can cost you benefits.
Yes,
but you're allowed to go.
You're allowed to go.
And
you
it
are
doesn't
able
change your status.
No, the status not changed, but you know, of course, you know, as a refugee sites, we are mandatorily helping refugees to furnish their house, for example. And if the person just decide to move from here to another place, most likely is not going to take all the furniture, all the households, and they're leaving this in the first site, and they go to another state. And of course, there is no other provision of the same services will be there. So that's, and sometimes we see the, and most of the time actually, the secondary migrants, they don't have access to furniture, to household, to the clothes. And so actual community stepping in and helping them
yes.
to reestablish themselves here. But, you know, the whole idea of the U.S. government, they bring them here. So the first place, primarily place, will cover everything, but when they moving from one place to another, it's really difficult for agencies to really keep up with this.
I think it's important to note that only 1% of refugees in the world gain entry to another country.
Yeah,
That's so profound, because we think the numbers are so huge, but there are people who are displaced within their own country and then people displaced into other countries, and then 1% of those make it into
Today we have 60 plus million people in the world that displaced from their houses and from their native countries, and only 21.3 million people have been accepted by the United Nations as the refugees. So the rest of the 40 million people are not. And from that 21.3 million people, only about, as you said, less than 1% were able to immigrate to the third countries. So U.S. has been, you know, always welcoming and still welcoming refugees. Numbers are changing year by year. Same with Canada and other countries. But again, it's a big chance, and it's you have to have a luck.
Yes,
to
be there's luck choosing. To it all.
Yes.
Yes, there is. And vetting, too.
Yes.
So if you're just joining this conversation, welcome. You're listening to New Mainers Speak. My guest today is Tarlan Amadov. He is the State Refugee Coordinator servicing Maine Refugee Services throughout Catholic Charities of Maine. So why is refugee resettlement so important in Maine these days, Tarlan?
You know, I would like to just go to a really important issue that we are all kind of know about it. It's not a secret that the Maine, and actually U.S. is one of the aging country in the world. But Maine is the one of the not only whitest, but it's oldest state in Maine, in state and nation. So the U.S. Census says that by 2022, Maine will have about 23% of population age 65 and plus. And this is in comparison with 2012. So in 10 years, meaning from 2012 to 2022, the increase will be 6%. So right now we have about maybe 18%, 18.5%, maybe more. But in 2012, it was 17%. So we have a huge growth in this population 65 and plus.
Yes, and what happens when one in four people is retired?
So meaning we have shortages in the workforce. We have an issue with the baby boomers. We don't have enough people that will be replacing them in the businesses, and this is going to really a huge issue for us going forward. So that's what I feel, that having the refugees or immigrants being a part of our workforce is essential. It's really going to keep our economy is more secure, more safe, and also can help us to deal with these issues of the baby boomers and, you know, the aging population.
Yes, I think that's really important.
From other side, I also wanted to say something. It's in terms of the purchasing power. So the multicultural population in U.S. has a $4.2 trillion of purchasing power. It is a huge. If you just look at the world countries purchasing power, so it's more than in Germany. So from other side, we have been seeing the average rate of growth from 1990 to 2017, within 27 years, we have a growth of 597% within that population. So 600% almost, and which is the growth of per year 6.84. But if you look at the U.S. growth, so the World Bank predicts in 2016 2.8% of growth. So it's just 2.5 times more than this U.S. growth itself. So it is really facts. It's really important, you know, numbers that we have to know about it. And from other side, for the new Mainers and immigrants, like in Maine, what they do, what is their impact? So it says that the statistic says it's 1 billion purchase power and economic contribution of the new Mainers to the Maine economy.
$1 billion.
$1 billion.
In Maine.
In Maine, yes.
That's worth noting.
Yes, and Asian and Latina businesses actually brings 400 million and employ 4,000 people annually. Just a big number.
It is a really big number.
From other side, we see the median age of the new Mainers in the last 5 years, it was 27 years. So this is really the age that we are looking for.
Yes, we still have a lot of work potential.
And we see also the population that we resettle, the refugees and immigrants, they have two times more the rate of or average of their education in colleges and better, you know, the education. So that's really important to see this population who comes here as refugee for the last 5 years. We see more and more educated people.
Yes, when you're picking only 1% of the people, you can pick people you expect to thrive.
Yes.
I think that's what happens, right? These people have a lot of gifts to contribute to the community.
I think it's also, you know, by the conflicts in the world and wars in the world, that where the people are coming. You know,
yes.
the last, from 2007, we have the immigration or refugees resettled through Iraq. And now the Syrian and other countries, that they are well-educated people. Many of them, they've been coming from the cities with the where it was infrastructure available prior to war.
Yes.
So that's why we see the influx of the people who has a lot of college degrees and has a big potential. And we see this now, the refugees that I resettled 5 years ago now become a doctorate in law. I mean, it's just unbelievable. You know, Ali Farid. So he was one of your guests, I believe, here. And he just graduated from the School of Law and he has a doctorate in law. Hopefully he's going to be one of the big role models. He is a role model for many Iraqi young refugees. And I think it's really tremendous achievements. And we can go more and more in details.
Oh, I'm sure you have hundreds of fabulous
yes.
stories. So when it comes to community celebrations, there's nothing quite like World Refugee Day, in my opinion. What can you tell us about Lewiston and Portland's upcoming celebrations this year?
So as you know, we do a lot of celebrations every year. So Catholic Charities are involved in this community event celebrating the World Refugee Day. And this year in Portland, we will be celebrating on Saturday, July 8th, between 4 to 8 p.m. And it will be in the Chevers High School. So it's 267 Ocean Avenue in Portland. So that will be kind of a joint live multicultural performances by dance groups, singers, and other artists. At the same time, it will be a community dinner provided by the Catholic churches and parishes. So as you know, maybe if you heard about it, that just in 3 months ago, in February, we had the first time multi kind of face. It was provided by the Catholic church in Scarborough, the bridge dinner. So when they invited the Muslim the neighbors and friends and, you know, the immigrants and refugees to come and celebrate with them, share the food. I mean, it was tremendous. I was there and I feel so much happy that how the interface, you know, the communication can be established in Maine. And that's going to bring for us a really big successful stories.
Yes, knowing people is different. It makes us and us rather than us and them, doesn't it?
And I'm really happy that the Catholic Church is stepping on this kind of road, helping refugees and helping educate our neighbors about the refugees. And they are opening their hearts and, you know, churches and, you know, the community events. And they will be a part of this huge community event. So that's happening in Portland. But in Lewiston, we have a World Refugee Day. It's also collaboration of many, you know, different organizations, the city of Lewiston, and there is many ethnic groups, organization that they are helping a lot to establishing Fatuma Hussein from the former, as you know, the Somali women, the organization. So she and many other, they are really helping to celebrate this year Refugee Day. On Thursday, June 29th, between 5 to 7 p.m. I hope you will be posting this.
I will post it on my
yes.
Facebook page and people
we,
can
we
link
invite
to it.
Actually the organizers inviting not only the Mainers, but we, you know, we wanted to all the refugees to come and celebrate with us.
I think
this
that's
beautiful
great.
Event.
Yes, and you could actually make it to both this year. Both the World Refugee Day is recognized on the same day every year. This year is Tuesday, the 20th of
it's
June.
It's the 20th, yes.
And sometimes that coincides with Ramadan. So in Maine, we've danced around that date. Next year, it'll be free and clear. But this year, we're having our World Refugee Day celebrations a little bit later.
Later, yes.
So
yes.
Please join us for both. It's open to everyone. It's a fun sampling of culture. If people are listening and they wish to support some of your programs or access them, how could they find you?
So we would like to ask, of course, donation to our operations. So monetary donations always will be acceptable, and we are happy to have them. We also would love to people to advocate for the low housing in Maine and Portland specifically. We would love to ask the businesses to support refugees in their businesses, hiring them, and vote for the new Mainers' interest. That's really good, kind of. And then through the Catholic Charities itself, we have, of course, donation acceptance lines. So please visit our website at ccmaine.org, and there is many ideas you can, you know, provide support through the household donations, furniture donations, gift card given to the refugees. So many things you can do for these days. And also volunteer opportunities. We have a lot of opportunities for the people to volunteering in our mentorship program, at the American Friends program, at the training, the trainer. So this is about how we can educate our neighbors, our friends about refugee resettlement.
So many ways to get involved.
Yes.
Thank you for that. Tarlin, you are an incredibly accomplished person. You're warm and personable, too. Thank you for the fine advocacy work you do here in Maine.
Thank you to you. So inviting me and being with you, it's my pleasure and my honor. Thank you.
And thank you all for listening. Please join us each week for similar interviews with diverse members of our community. If you would like to hear this complete interview or interviews from previous weeks, please visit newmainerspeak.com and check out more related information at facebook.com/newmainerspeak. New Mainers Speak is also rebroadcast on Mondays at 4:30 p.m. on WERU in Blue Hill and Bangor area. I'm Kate Manahan in the studio with my guest Tarlin Amadoff. Would you introduce a song you've selected to close today's program, Tarlin?
Yes, it's a world-famous tenor, Muslim Magomayev. It's our hero and legend of the Azerbaijan music. So he sang this song a long time ago called Azerbaijan.
And how perfect for your 99th anniversary.
Yes, it is. It is, yes.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. Azerbaijan.